Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Singing Machine second quarter earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded, and I'll be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Mr. Brendan Hopkins. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the Singing Machine second quarter fiscal 2018 revenue and earnings report. We have a quick disclaimer and then we'll get started. Except for historical information contained herein, the statements on this conference call are forward-looking statements that are made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which may cause our actual results in future periods to differ materially from forecasted results. With that said, I would like to turn the call over to Gary Atkinson, CEO of The Singing Machine.
Thank you, Brendan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gary Atkinson. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of The Singing Machine Company. I'm also joined with me this morning by Lionel Marquis, our CFO, Mello, our VP of Sales and Marketing. Just want to thank all of you at the outset here for taking the time to join us on our second quarter earnings call. For those that have not yet seen the numbers, we did file our second quarter statement this morning. It's available on our website at singingmachine.com/investors or also any other major stock news website that's out there. Just want to start by commenting on the quarter. Then Lionel is going to take over and walk us through some of the numbers. But obviously here the big story was Toys R Us. I mean, we had a short-term disruption to our profits this quarter, which was the result of the Toys R Us bankruptcy. Management here is very, very happy with the results of the quarter. Had it not been for Toys R Us, this second quarter would have been the biggest and most profitable quarter that this company has seen in over 15 years. So I think that speaks highly of the business overall, taking Toys R Us out of the mix. But obviously, the Toys R Us bankruptcy did occur. Not much we could do to control that event. But with that being said, management here is very, very happy with the overall progress. So I'd like to turn the call over to Lionel Marquis, who will take some time and walk us through some of the numbers.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to touch base on some of the profit and loss and key balance sheet items that were impacted not only by Toys R Us, but also the breadth of the quarter in general. Net sales for the quarter were up $4.7 million and year-to-date up $3.8 million. We're up approximately 16% for the second quarter, and we're up about 12% on a year-to-date basis. We have one major retailer who took on an extra SKU this year, which is contributing significantly to that bottom line, and also the this continued increase in internet and online shopping that's contributed to the increase in the sales. From what we know internally, we have not been losing any sales to anyone. Everybody is either pretty steady with what they did last year, all our customers, or they're up, and in some cases significantly if they took on another SKU. Our gross profit margin was up approximately 0.5% both year-to-date and for the quarter. We pretty much attribute that to several new products that we introduced. Generally, with new products, we're able to command a significantly higher gross margin on that, and that's able to contribute to the gross profit margin increase. Selling expenses, they were up relatively slightly from quarter-to-date from 2.4, up to 2.4 from 2.2 in the quarter, and up to 2.8 versus 2.6 in the year before. You would normally expect with a 16% increase and 12% increase year-to-date in sales to see those selling expenses up by the same amount. However, one of those major customers who took on the extra SKU took those on without any selling or co-op marketing programs. So consequently, our selling expenses did not increase in the same percentage as our gross sales and our net sales did. From a G&A standpoint, we are up. We took the hit to Toys R Us for approximately $2 million, and I can get into a little bit of detail on the Toys R Us situation. We were caught with approximately $4.4 million of receivables that were unsecured and caught in that petition filing by Toys R Us. After going through and looking at our administrative claims, which are preferential claims, we realized that we had approximately $2.4 million worth of those preferential claims where we have now filed those claims with the bankruptcy court and are awaiting disposition in terms of payment. That having been said, we took a $2 million hit to the bad debt reserve. We increased our bad debt reserve accordingly. And if you look at the G&A expenses at $4 million versus $1.5 million, there's $2 million in those G&A expenses specifically related to the Toys R Us bankruptcy. So consequently, without that in there, we would have increased approximately $500,000 on a quarter for the quarter. And we have several things. Payroll, of course, we're growing, and we increased payroll by approximately $83,000. We hired three new hires in the sales and marketing area, as well as some warehouse personnel that we needed to hire for the increased volume. We had some license fees associated with the use of some tooling from a subcontracted manufacturer. There were approximately $116,000 in fees for that. And there were other things such as insurance and the stock option expenses and other related party services that increased. So the total of all that was approximately $500,000 for the quarter. The net income before tax was $1.2 million versus $2.7 last year on the quarter. And year-to-date, we were talking about $400,000 pre-tax versus $2.1 last year. If you take the $2 million and add that back to the net income before tax, you would see that we would have had a significant increase in both the net income, not only from a quarterly basis, from a year-to-date basis. So we're pleased with the way the quarter turned out. If it were not for Toys R Us, we were headed towards record territory. From a balance sheet perspective, our accounts receivable was $28.7 million versus $18.1 million, is a 58% increase in accounts receivable. We had a change in payment terms with one of our largest vendor. They went from LC at site, which meant that we got paid pretty much when we delivered the goods almost the same day to net 60 days, something that we had no control of. This was something they've done for pretty much all of their customers across the board. So that's put a little bit more strain on the line of credit, but that's what the line of credit was there for us to be able to manage our payment of our vendors and manage our cash situation. So all of that, the accounts receivable will drop significantly, obviously, for the fourth quarter when everything will be, third and fourth quarter when everything will be paid off. Our inventory increased approximately $5.7 million. It's up to $14.3 versus $8.6 last year. Again, this is a timing situation. We brought in inventory a lot earlier this year than we did in the past. Obviously, at this time of year, we would still be receiving some inventory if it were the same condition as last year. However, we're not receiving any inventory right now, and we're going to be bleeding down that inventory significantly. So there should not be any kind of increase in inventory, at least the way we're projecting it right now, from last year to this year. And the accounts payable is up from $10.1 million to $22.2 million, and that's a function of that major vendor having the extended days. We also got extended terms from our vendors as well to compensate or match for that. So the increase in accounts payable is relatively similar to the increase in the accounts receivable. And I think all in all, with Toys R Us taken out of the mix, I think the message is that the company is still doing well. And once we get through this, it's going to be, like Gary said, it's a short-term hit to our bottom line. It's also a short-term hit to our cash flow, but we're managing through that, and we should get through this in due time here in a few months. That's pretty much my report.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lionel. At this point, we're going to turn the call over to Bernardo Mello, who was going to give A bit of an update in terms of sales and marketing and a general business update for the coming next year.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Just want to go over just some of the accounts and some of the success stories that we've had so far this year. One thing that you'll notice right off the bat is as these Black Fridays and promotional ads start coming out, is that Singing Machine is going to be well represented in all the majors. For example, at Walmart, we're going to be featured two Black Friday items this year, which is almost unheard of to have two in one in this particular category. So you're going to see an entry level unit and a higher scale unit. You're going to see the pedestal hit a price point that hasn't been seen before in the streets. So we're really excited about that, of what the potential is going to be on the sell-through and what that's going to do to strengthen our relationship with the number one retailer. Besides that, their inline items are selling extremely well. We've added an additional SKU this year that they brought in for a little bit less than half of their stores. And they've already realized that it's an item that will probably roll out to all stores next year. From the club side, Sam's Club is doing extremely well. They brought in a second SKU chain wide, which has performed beyond our expectations so far, and we're looking to hopefully sell out completely clean on that particular SKU. They also brought in our higher technology item that's, you know, selling well right now, and you'll be featured on a promotional weekend during the Black Friday weekend as well. Costco continues to do well with their SKU. We got numbers yesterday, and we are showing improvements year over year from last year, so that's positive news. As the shift continues to be on .com, Amazon's rise continues to grow. We're showing over 40% year-over-year increase in sales there, which is unique. Saying that we've also decreased our marketing spend on there, so that's real positive for the brand and for us. Best Buy launched our one SKU in two different places at the store. You're going to find it at audio in the audio department, but you're also going to find it in half of the stores in what they call their front lane, which is right by the checkout. So that's going to be good visibility for the brand and should bode well for sales as well. Too early to tell since it just hit the store, but we should get a good feedback here on in the next couple of weeks as to how the item is doing. Toys R Us, I know things seem a little dire now, but actually sell-through is still pretty decent there at Toys R Us. I mean, there is a negative comp from year over year, but we launched the kids item with Toys R Us, and those seem to be doing very well. And some of the key SKUs are still selling well. So there's still some promising there's still a promising finish to Toys R Us for this holiday season. So we're excited about that. The kids item launched. We've launched it in several places, and we have some clear winners that we're excited about at some key price points. So as we started presenting already for 2018, we have some good data that we could take in as to how well the items are performing. So the kids item present to us a unique opportunity to expand our sales and distribution with some toy retailers, some regional retailers, but more importantly, internationally. We were just in Hong Kong in October, and we displayed mainly the kids SKUs, and we got tremendous feedback from some key distributors in countries such as the Middle East, Spain. We already started shipping to Lebanon this year. Tokyo already started shipping their first SKU, which is important because, as you may know, Japan, 80% of the population does some form of karaoke. So as we as we partnered ourselves with a company called HappyNet, one of the largest toy distributors in Japan. They're a division of Bandai. They brought in one SKU, and we're already looking at expanding that assortment for 2018. We could really grow that market and really expose it, because right now there's nothing like it in the marketplace. We also visited the Shanghai show this year, the Shanghai Toy Show, and we're going to get started also with some China distribution. And as most of you guys have heard, you know, they just did $25 billion in sales on what they call their Black Friday there. So we're going to get some distribution with some of those online retailers like Tmall and JD.com and everything. So we're really excited about the potential of what's happening internationally and also in Asia. We think that that's a real growth opportunity for us for 2018. And what's continuing to happen in the U.S. with our distribution, our brand recognition, and our expansion of retail shelf space, we're looking to finish the year really strong, but also position ourselves for even a stronger 2018 year. So, with that, I'll hand it back over to Gary, and I'll stick around for some questioning after the call.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Bernardo. I do want to save some time for questions, but I also want to quickly just touch on status with the music downloads and music subscription sales. The last 6 weeks, we've really started to see a nice ramp up in terms of downloads and music subscriptions. We started seeing it last year. We're seeing it even more this year, where there is a shift in consumer behavior, where people are really opting more for streaming services as opposed to downloads. So we might actually this year see a shift where the streaming subscriptions actually outweigh the music download revenue. We're not there yet, but the potential's there. We are launching later this year an Android streaming app. So up till now, we've only offered an Apple iOS version of our mobile karaoke streaming app. But before Christmas this year in December, early December, we're going to be launching that Android app, so we'll be able to cover pretty much 90% of the smartphones and tablet sector by offering that Android app. So we really think that's going to have a strong boost to Christmas music subscription sales. So with that being said, I want to make sure we leave time for questions. So I'll turn it over to the moderator, who can open us up for questions.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And we'll take our first question from Anthony Marchese, private investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, congratulations on what is, I think, a fantastic quarter in spite of, you know, the Toys R Us situation. I'm a fairly new investor. Took advantage of what I think is an incredible opportunity here. Given your profitability, can you just talk a little bit about the cyclicality or the seasonality? My first question is, if you can just discuss the seasonality of the business, and are there ways to potentially smooth that out, or rather pick up sales in other parts of the year?
Sure. So we are seasonal. I think as most toy companies or consumer electronic companies, there's definitely a component of seasonality as you sort of ramp up for Christmas. I'd say we're certainly no exception there. Typically our second quarter and our third quarter are always historically going to be our biggest quarters for the year, and then normally we'll have a Q4 and a Q1 that is sort of ramping down out of Christmas and back into the summer. So that's the seasonality we run into right now. But I think some of the things we're trying to do to smoothen that out is you're going to start seeing more music subscription revenue coming in after the Christmas season. So that'll start recurring in our Q4 season. You'll start seeing some of those music revenue numbers coming in. And then also we're always looking to expand our lineup, right? So this year we launched our toy line. which is adding more SKUs that a lot of specialty retailers will bring in merchandise earlier. We're also looking at any other particular other lines or product that can help us break from that seasonality. And then I think the last thing is just more international business. You know, international distributors, they typically like to take product in earlier, and that'll help also kind of smoothen the effect of the seasonality.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And another question I have is, in terms of getting out and telling the story, you have a great story, I think. You know, your stock, obviously it's a microcap stock, seems to me, based on, you know, historical results or certainly results going forward, seems like, in my mind, an extraordinarily inexpensive stock relative to growth potential. And I say that because I look at this Chinese company that recently went out at a multi-billion dollar valuation that I think is in the lip syncing business or lip syncing software. So I look at that, and you're not much different, frankly, than that experience. So I look at you as an extraordinarily cheap stock. But having said that, what are your plans in terms of going out and telling the story?
Sure. So we've got we typically start the year with a roadmap of investor conferences that we attend every year. Brendan and I, we go out and we do these shows. We have the largest microcap conference coming up this December, which is LD Micro. We presented there last year, had tremendous success. We've been invited back this year. I believe we're going to be one of their top 10 featured companies. This is their 10th year anniversary of doing the show, and they've definitely courted us heavily to attend again this year. So we're going to be doing that, and we have some other conferences coming down the pipeline as well, which is always really, from our experience, a great way to meet new investors, tell the story face-to-face, and answer any questions that people have. You know, beyond that, we're starting up a more aggressive outreach program through email blasts, trying to communicate to all of our investors. So I would recommend to anybody on the call who's not already on our mailing list to subscribe to that, because we do, you know, we don't spam people with a lot of emails, but we do like to keep everybody, all of our shareholders, informed as to what's going on within the company, and we like to take advantage of email as a way to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I'm looking at the stock trading near a 52-week low, yet your results seem to indicate otherwise. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for your questions.
And we'll take our next question from Tumer Cohen with Five Roads Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Hey, morning, Tumer.
My first question has to do with the toy line. Bernardo, you mentioned that you have some early sense of who the winners are or which products are getting good sell-through. Can you just expand on that and explain a little bit how you know, what sorts of trials have you run, and you know, what's the quantity of feedback you've gotten?
Yeah, the two things. Just mostly from a sell-through perspective, you know, the items were hitting stores, and also online. They're online. There's matrices that show that people are showing interest, even if they're not buying right now, that they're showing interest, that they're clicking on it, to the tune of Amazon switching gears in our investment into the electronic gift guide to one of the SKUs in the kids line, and they bought out our entire inventory. So now we're completely sold out on that item. And from a Toys R Us perspective, you know, seeing the sell-through that we're starting to steal some sales from some of the licenses in that $39.99 and below price point, is also showing some promising signs. So we've done very little marketing so far, but people are finding it, they're liking it, and for us, that's really encouraging. So that's from one perspective. From the other perspective is we already started showing items to customers for 2018 placement, and they seem to the feedback is that they like where we're headed, and they could replace some like items that were on their licenses, replace them with Singing Machine branded products. So That's the feedback from a merchandising standpoint and from a buyer slash distributor standpoint, as they look into what they like to bring in for 2018.
I see. Okay. And then I think you mentioned that there are going to be two items on Black Friday promotional at Walmart. I'm curious if you could just tell us which of those two items that you're referring to.
Yeah, if you go to Flip, that's available now on iOS, is FLIPP. You could do a simple search for karaoke, and the items are there. I mean, we're bringing one of our flagship items, which is the pedestal. That's going to be at $99. I don't know how they're hitting that, but they're going to be at $99. And then the other one is a derivative of a brand new SKU that we did. It has some lesser features, but it's still, the perceived value is still there. They're going down from 69 to 39 on that particular SKU, and they bought in very heavy into it, and we feel that that's going to be a winner as well. So they have it's not older SKUs, it's SKUs that are fresh in the line and they're fresh in hitting some key price points that have never been out there before.
Okay.
And just to clarify, one is in the electronic aisle, the other one is in the toy aisle. So we're covered from both an electronic standpoint and a toy standpoint as well.
That's good news. Is the pedestal a download or a streaming product?
That has a classic model, is a CDG model, but it does have Bluetooth, which for us is important because over close to, 50% or something like that of the revenue so far is
close to it
is coming from a Bluetooth perspective. And the unit is designed in a way that it has a lip right on the pedestal where you can position your tablet well to play the lyrics right off the tablet. So and some of the and the karaoke features still work while at Bluetooth, some of the echoes and things like that. So it's primed to take advantage of both the classic, the CDG line, and also the Bluetooth aspect of the machine.
Yeah. And when you say that something like 80% of your revenues is from Bluetooth, you mean machines that have Bluetooth built in, right?
Yeah, not 80%. I mean, no.
So Bernardo was talking about just percentage of revenue from the music, either music subscriptions or music downloads.
Yeah.
And we're seeing, a little bit over 40, close to maybe 45% of that is now coming from subscription services and not from downloads.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, and that should probably continue to increase when we introduce the Android app. And we just received some of the screenshots of the new app, and we're really excited that we're refreshing the app for the first time in over 4 or 5 years. So that's going to be positive news there as well.
Good. I guess that's actually a good segue into my last question. Improving the user experience in the app. Have you made changes to the iOS app to improve that side of things?
Yeah, we have. In fact, it's a significant relaunch of the entire app from the ground up. So we've scrapped the entire app, and it's been built from the ground up with a brand new API in the background and brand new, we're going to be introducing, we're going to announce it when it's formally ready, but it'll be ready before this Christmas season. But it's going to be a complete relaunch of the app with a much better, enhanced user interface, user experience, much more graphical. It'll look a lot more contemporary with what people are familiar with.
Okay. Good. Well, and I think everybody understands that the Toys R Us issues are certainly not your fault, and keep chugging along, and hopefully you'll continue the great momentum you've had.
Thank you.
Great. Appreciate it, Tomer. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Sam Rybotsky from SCR Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Gary and Bernard and everyone else. Just let me go over the Toys R Us. You mentioned $2.4 million is preferential from Toys R Us. When do you receive that money?
So nobody would receive, or I shouldn't say nobody, but typically that administrative preferential payment, they don't get made until the bankruptcy or the restructuring, I should say, is in final confirmation. So what that means is Toys R Us comes up with a plan for how they intend to restructure. They submit that plan to the court, and the court, along with the creditors committee, has to approve that plan. And when that happens, that's called confirmation. And at that point in time is when that money will get paid out.
So would we say that's at least a minimum 6 months, a year out?
Well, our bankruptcy attorneys have advised us that it's, you know, a restructuring of this size, like Toys R Us, I mean, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. It all just depends on how smoothly things go, how many extensions they need to take. So it's hard for us to pinpoint, but Lionel can maybe jump in on some of the alternate options that we have. If we do need to convert some of that into cash, there are some avenues where we can do it quickly. So maybe, Lionel, you want to address some of those?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things. We don't want to prematurely settle for something that just because we don't want to – we're not looking to show that we're in desperate need of the cash so much that we're willing to settle for anything. We're still trying to negotiate with Toys R Us to get on the critical vendor list, which is – again, an outside shot, but still they're negotiating, and it's a negotiation right now. And to the extent that we could do something that's mutually beneficial to both sides, that would be the best alternative. But there is also the street out there. There are investment firms that buy the assets on a situation like this, and they're currently paying for administrative claims like we have, approximately anywhere from 85 to 88 cents on the dollar for the preferential administrative claims. And we've heard up to 25 cents on the dollar on the unsecured claims. So that is a way of converting things within 45 days into cash. So if we get into that situation, and again, I'm going to put everything in motion so that I can get a quote from different firms, so that I'm prepared to pull the trigger should we not be successful in moving forward with, you know, a settlement with Toys R Us that would be favorable in that way. So we've taken all that into consideration, and that's when I'm talking about the $2.4 million, I've already taken into consideration the possibility that we might settle with someone out on the street to buy those claims.
That's very helpful to understand that. Now, the critical vendor list, that's to sort of help you ship merchandise to Toys R Us, indicating they need your merchandise?
Yeah, essentially, that's part of it. Also part of it is it's an agreement, a mutual agreement that, hey, for X amount of dollars or for settlement of your claim or whatever, that you agreed to continue to do business with us going forward in the same manner that you did business with us prior to prior to the bankruptcy proceeding. So there's a give and take on both sides there.
And presumably you get paid 100% as on a critical vendor list on future shipments?
I don't think it has anything to do with future shipments, because what's pre-petition is segregated, and there's a settlement to be reached on those things. But business going forward is totally a separate situation. So, sure. I mean, anything going forward, especially in the debtor in possession right now, the court assumes, okay, the court is watching over the company, saying that their financing is adequate to pay everything on shipments going forward at 100%. So there's no negotiation and things that we have shipped to them post filing.
Okay. Now, do we know, you know, it's November 14th. Do we know how much inventory Toys R Us has of Singing Machine not sold as of now, some kind of judgment relative to where we go forward with Toys R Us?
Yeah, I mean, we get the weekly sell-through reports from Toys R Us, so we see their inventory positions. We see what their sell-through positions look like.
Yeah, actually, they're doing fine. You know, their CEO came out and made some promises about some price matching and that they're moving forward. From our point of view, you know, we pretty much have that whole 12 feet of space in the back of the R zone, and although the foot traffic might be down a little bit, we're still capturing some sales. We get weekly updates on their forecast. And just yesterday, when we looked at the forecast, there were some increases on some of the SKUs that they expect to sell more than what they originally thought, just based on how the sales are trending. So, you know, it's obviously not what it was last year or the year before, but I'm definitely encouraged by the fact that they are selling such a decent number in their sell-through so far this year. And that's that, you know, ads haven't really hit. I mean, big book hit, but we still have Black Friday, we have Big Book Junior, and we have some December ads that are coming that are encouraging to us. So yeah, I mean, we are as happy as we could be with in terms of the sell-through so far. And hopefully that will continue for the holidays.
Okay, that sounds good. Would we guess they have $1 million of merchandise on hand? And, you know, as you get closer to Christmas, it'll all be gone. Is that the way it sort of works? Or do they need to buy more product for the Christmas season?
They probably have closer to $7 million in inventory, maybe $5 million in inventory now. They're well positioned for Christmas. I mean, we've been shipping them under their DIP financing protection, so you know they're well positioned. They're still placing orders, and they're actually placing orders for spring. We already started getting direct import orders that are covering spring sales, based on the sell through that they're seeing now. So. We've already turned those over to our Hong Kong team to start preparing the materials for shipments.
Well, that sounds very good. It sounds like with all your other business, and as long as Toys R Us works out, you sort of breathe a lot easier. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll take our next question from Jason Hirschman, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Good. Great quarter, all things considered. And got to throw in the hurricane, too. So you guys really had a busy few months there.
So that's for sure.
So hopefully no more hurricanes and hopefully no more bankruptcies, at least for a few months. So basically all my questions on the bankruptcy have been answered. And thanks for all the detail about the preferential claims. I do have one sort of more product-related question then about the sort of the Antares audio agreement and whether you can give a little more information about what exactly that's going to be about and maybe if you give a little bit of information about what that might do for you guys going forward.
Sure. Well, we're very, very excited about the partnership, the technology licensing agreement that we've signed with Antares. So for those that maybe aren't familiar, we did sign a deal basically enabling us to have access to the AutoTune pitch correction software. And what that is that's basically the world standard for studio quality pitch correction and vocal effects processing. And all the major recording artists use that when they're recording their songs in the studio. So all the music you're hearing on the radio is probably 99% of it has some form of auto-tune processing on the song. And so what we're doing is we're taking that studio quality effect and that software, and we're bringing that now to use. And we're going to be launching that first product next year, probably in the summer is our estimated ship date on that. The way that's working is we're not putting any money up front. It's purely, Antares is doing all of the development work in terms of getting their software to work on our machine. And then to compensate them, we're paying them a back-end royalty on each machine that we sell.
Okay, so that would be incorporated into your current line then, right? Correct? Of Singing Machines? This wouldn't be a separate unit, or is it a separate?
It's going to be, yeah, we're planning on debuting next year with a brand new separate unit. We're going to be launching that at CES this year, which is in January. We've also engaged with a well-known PR agency to help spread awareness among consumers and the media as to what this new product is and what it does. So we're excited about it. I mean, I think this is, I hope, the next product that can bring Singing Machine and karaoke to the masses, to kind of bring it a little bit out of that, either that promotional item or that bit of a niche product, and make it more mainstream for anybody, even people who don't like to sing or maybe don't sound good singing. This might be a great product for them. So we're pretty excited about it for next year.
Okay, and I know it's very early. Is there a general sense as to the, is this going to be like a 99-95 kind of product or something much higher than that, or just a general sense of understanding?
Yeah, so
where
right now we're targeting a $199 retail price.
Okay.
Which we think will present a lot of value to consumers given the size of the product and the features that we're packing in and the technology and the audio quality of it. It's really going to be a robust machine. So I think $199 is not a price point we're afraid of.
And just to give it a little bit of a visual, you know, we are targeting, I mean, it's ultimately a really good sounding speaker, Bluetooth speaker. So what we're hoping is that it turns into your entertainment hub at home, you know, that you can use it as a speaker, you can use it as a karaoke machine, and if you don't know how to sing, it could help you become a better singer as well, so, or sound better. So it's going to have some multi-use purposes on it.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. I know I could sound better when I'm singing, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very
much,
guys.
Customer. All right, thank you.
Exactly.
And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, well, I appreciate all the good questions. Thanks, everybody, again, for attending our second quarter earnings. We're very, very excited about the direction we're going with the company. We have some killer products and projects that are in the works right now for next year and the coming quarters. So I would encourage everybody to you know, stay tuned, keep following, sign up to our investor newsletter so you can continue to get the latest updates on the company. And if there's any other individual questions, feel free to reach out to myself or Brendan. We'd be happy to schedule some calls. So thanks again, everybody, and we'll speak to you all next quarter.